supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio from Iran. Be with us. The topic that which today we're going to concern about is importance of secrecy. I mean, keeping things secret in Islamic viewpoint. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? the clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 24th of Rabiu Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we listen to verse 3 of chapter At-Tahrim from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَن بَعْضٍ فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَهَا بِهِ قَالَتْ مَنْ أَنْبَأَكَ هَذَا قَالَ نَبَّأَنِيَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ.
And remember when the Prophet confided to one of his wives a statement, and when she informed another of it, and Allah showed it to him. He made known part of it and ignored a part. And when he informed her about it, she said, "Who told you this?" He said, "I was informed by the knowing, the acquainted."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse reflects that some of the wives of the noble Prophet distributed him by their words. Further, they lacked the merit of keeping secrets, which is one of the qualifications of a royal wife. The noble Prophet's conduct was so magnanimous that he even did not apprise her of the whole intelligence, but merely alluded to some part of it.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty, the sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to His supremacy. Praise be to Him supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
So as I told you, the topic of today's special is importance of secrecy, or keeping things secret in Islam. Dear friends, trust has different forms in Islam, including faithfulness in keeping people secret. Secret is called sir in Arabic, that plural of which is asrar. Keeping secrets, or asrar, has been made obligatory by Islam for each and every Muslim. Allah says, "Fulfill the assurances and promises made with people. Indeed, you will ask about that promise." This is considered so important in Islam's view that disclosing a person's secret is considered as one of the capital sins. Dear brothers and sisters, know that a secret is a kind of trust or amana, and thus a kind of contract or covenant which must be kept. It is necessary to be harsh with those who disclose them, because they are betraying a trust and breaking their promise.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. This is Ali, your host, from IRB English Radio, and we shall be with you inshallah, in our today's show with our topic that is secrecy and how to keep secrets. And inshallah, in this very show, we shall talk about secrecy from the perspective of Quran and Sunnah and Islam in general. Secrecy and protection of one's secrets as well as the secrets of others, actually, which are entrusted to a man, are considered one of the most important and key moral virtues and then in the individual and social dimension. This trait and characteristic originates from divine attributes and is considered a symbol of growth and character. This ruling includes all issues from personal and family secrets to ideological and government secrets that are the guarantor of happiness, faith, security, and freedom of man in choosing his destiny, and except in the cases that are considered permissible by the Holy Sharia, that is, in the position of litigation, consultation, limits, hudud, and ta'zir, help, fear, and danger. A person does not have the right to disclose any secret, especially in cases where the secret is related to important matters such as the secrets of God, Sirrullah, and the secrets of people, Sirrunnas. And according to the rulings and hadith and narrations, whoever discloses another's secret will be exposed to his own secrets. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Now, one question: why we keep so many secrets? And we're going to speak about the things we don't tell others. It's no secret that you're keeping a secret right now. In fact, if you're like most people, you can probably count about a dozen pieces of personal information that you've never shared with anyone and probably never will. It could be perhaps you once committed a petty crime and got away with it. There are 36 common secrets identified by researchers, and the average person keeps about 12 of them. Some secrets are harmful because they evoke shame, but others can be empowering. Insight into the reasons for keeping a secret can help you avoid ruminating about it. Secrecy is intentionally withholding personal information from one or more persons. Keeping secrets can often be harmful in the long run, both physically and psychologically. However, according to psychologists, it's not the withholding that hurts us. Instead, it's the ruminating that harms. In this part, I want to give you a tip. Write it down and destroy it. Writing about the secret in detail on paper, then destroying the evidence can be a good way to get it out. Be sure you thoroughly destroy the evidence. Consider burning it safely or shredding it in a paper shredder. If you put it in a trash can, tear it into pieces and bury it underneath the trash. Consider putting the pieces in separate trash and or taking the trash out to the curb or dumpster immediately after the throwing the paper away.
You see, when you get a hint that you will be promoted, remain relaxed and keep the news to yourself until you really get promoted. If you have conceived a child, don't tell it to everyone. There are many who are waiting for this blessing. If you are blessed with health, don't make it public. There are many who cherish it. Everything that happens in your life, you take a nice picture of it and push it down your socials. There are people who will sincerely love you for the accomplishments you have been granted. But then there are others who will envy you and have that jealousy towards you. A jealous person is affected more than the person whom he is jealous of. Jealousy not only spoils the peace of mind, but it also weakens the faith in Allah. Because when a person gets envious to another person, he thinks that Allah has not been fair with him. Though he does not know what blessings Allah has given to each of his servant, and indeed, Allah does justice better than anybody can think of. Keeping secrets others have entrusted us with is part of our duty. We would be committing grave injustice by leaking what we held in confidence. Many take this for granted, thinking that the password is "don't tell anybody," but yet even that is a sin. It destroys good relations and wreaks havoc in society. My dear brothers and sisters, know that a secret is a kind of trust, amana, and thus a kind of contract or covenant which must be kept.
I'm sure you agree with me. It's a nice topic to discuss, to know more about it. So inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, that is tomorrow. Allah keep all of you sound and safe. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us reflect on what the Holy Prophet's divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about prosperity in life and salvation in afterlife. Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very important and beautiful hadith. This hadith is about the abandonment of prayer and why it's considered equal to kufr or disbelief. In this hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following. It was once asked why the person who abandons the prayer is considered an infidel, a kafir, and not a fornicator. Right? It's very famous that, you know, if somebody, you know, abandons the prayer, he's a kafir, he's an infidel. But the person who abandons the prayer has not been compared to someone who fornicates. Somebody asked the Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, why this is so, what's the reason for this comparison to the kafir, but not the person who makes fornication or the fornicator. To which the Imam replied in the following way. Because the fornicator, the person who commits fornication and other such sins, he commits the sin out of a desire that overcomes him. He's overcome with passion, he's overcome with lust, and he performs the sin. Whereas the one who abandons the prayer, the salat, only does so because he does not take it seriously, deeming it insignificant, right? So I guess the kafir, the disbeliever, right? He abandons, you know, belief and faith, iman, because he doesn't believe it to be very important, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that he is, you know, passionate to abandon it, right? Abandoning it is not something that one could, you know, be passionate about, right? It's not an action itself, or it's just actually an inaction, right? But because one does not deem this action of faith or believing to be significant, something very important, hope he doesn't believe in it. Right? Similarly, the one who abandons the prayer, he abandons it because he doesn't think it's very important, he doesn't believe it to be very important. The inaction itself, it doesn't like draw him towards it, right? So because of that, this person who abandons the prayer, he's been compared to the kafir, to the infidel, and not the one who fornicates. It's interesting to know that in the Holy Quran, regarding the people who have gone to hell, it's the following has been mentioned. These people will be asked, "What drew you into hell?" They will answer, "We were not amongst those who prayed." One of the reasons why people will go to hell is that they were people who abandoned prayers. They left the prayers. They abandoned it. And, you know, this actual act of taking prayers lightly, it's something very bad. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Do not neglect your prayers. For verily the Prophet said, while he was on his deathbed, 'The one who takes his prayers lightly is not from me.'" Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the abandonment of prayers in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here are some of the students of Sevier International Schools, Brother Fawad Haider, Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Ali Nasir. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Fine, everyone?
Yes.
That's great. Welcome. Let's recommend our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now to stay with us till the end of this Quranic session, inshallah. So today, inshallah, we'll be working on verses 94 and 95 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Two important messages, inshallah, we're going to have in these two verses. But before we start, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, make sure you have your Quran. Turn to Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 94 and 95. Five. Now, let's everyone listen to these two verses and then, inshallah, we'll practice. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation we all loved. Now we will, inshallah, recite a beautiful recitation together. Ready? Brothers yes. and sisters, please practice with us, okay, as you listen. Thank you. Let's start. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قل إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله خالصة من دون الناس
قل إن كانت كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله خالصة من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولن يتمنوه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم ولن يتمنوه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين والله عليم بالظالمين
Okay, great. Thank you so much. One question. Why some of the people are afraid of death?
Because they're afraid of going to hell.
Because they know.
Because of the sins they have done?
Because they know.
Because they know that it's clear we'll go to hell. And that's why they're afraid.
They're scared of their fate.
Mm-hmm. Or another thing, they like this world so much.
They like this world so much?
Yes.
All right. So great reasons, mashallah. Nice. It means you all are scholars. So I cannot express any new ideas then. You all know. So these things were great. The things that you said, they are right. Completely right. But let me add one more thing. Just my point. My point. I should have shared mine as well, okay? It's actually what I have studied. So some of the people are afraid of death because they don't know what really death is. What really death is. If they know, they will not be afraid, okay? Maybe a lot of people have told them, oh, death, when you die, so everything you lose. And you will not have any friends anymore. Oh, a lot of things they have learned, okay? But they don't know exactly what death is, right? If people knew what death is exactly, okay, they will not hate it. They will love it because they will face a fact of their life, okay? A lot of people think like death is the end. That's why they are afraid. They try to do thousands of things, whatever they can do to live longer. I studied, okay, that one of the famous, public figure in America, I think. I don't want to say the name. So he had acquired, okay, he had, employed, okay, a lot of doctors for himself. Okay, to keep him safe and healthy. He had a doctor for his heart, a doctor for his lungs and everything. But he couldn't live longer than 40 years. He was afraid of death, okay? Like he wanted to live longer, but he couldn't. Because that's a fact everyone faces, everyone experiences. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. So guys, now. The reasons that you said they were nice. Here Allah Almighty says that قل إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة Say to them, the children of Israel, because they thought that we will have a great future in the heaven, okay? They were thinking like this. And they were saying that we will not experience the hellfire. Even if we experience it, that will be for a short time. But Allah Almighty says, no. If you think like you have Darul Akhirah, okay? You have good future, good hereafter, okay? And the year, okay? And the hereafter. So, min duni nas, not for other people. Other people do not have this. You have only, okay? Look, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ Then ask Allah Almighty to give you death, to make you die, okay? Huh? Wish for death. Yes, if you think it's good. So دار الآخرة is after death then. So if you think you have a great future, so come, ask Allah Almighty for giving you like death, okay? Then إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you're rightful, if you say right, if you're honest. Okay, so it means then Allah Almighty says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ They will never wish for death. Okay, they are afraid of death. Why? بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ Because whatever they have done, they have sent to the hereafter is nothing, just sins. These two ayahs, make sure inshallah you
inshallah, increase your understanding about Day of Judgment and also about death, everything, inshallah, okay? So, guys, for the more explanations, okay, please refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, you'll understand a lot of things.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Now the Tajweed rules here. قُلْ إِن كَانَتْ إِن نُون سَاكِن plus كَاف. The first Tajweed rule here in this.
إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى. But in a way to let your listener understand that
there is كَاف.
The letter كَاف is going to come. قُلْ إِن إِنْك. The word ink.
Yeah.
Ink, paper, pen, ink. قُلْ إِنْك. إن كانت make it a bit longer to count. قل إن كانت okay لكم الدار الآخرة دار الآخرة عند الله عند نون ساكن plus دال hide the sound. So let's review those rules. If we have six letters like حمزة ها ح Kha, Ayn, Ghain, these six letters are called throat
letters.
And the rule we apply is?
Idhar.
Idhar. Whenever you have Nun Sakin or Tanwin plus these six letters, one of them, you should normally read it as if you don't know any rule. All right? But if you have six other letters, Yarmalun, Ya, Ra, Mim, Law, Lam, Waw, Nun.
You should Idgham.
Idgham, merge Nun Sakin or Tanwin with one of these letters. لَيْ وَلَيْ يَتَمَنَّوْهِ in the next ayah we have. Alright? Or خَالِسَةً merge.
Yeah.
So, then if you have the letter ba, إِقْلَاب will you apply that in the next ayah we have it. And if you have the rest of the letters, huh?
إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى. Hide the sound. So here we have hiding, right?
Yes.
عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِخْفَى. Hide the sound of them. عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The pronunciation of the letter Lam in Allah is heavily pronounced. And Allah. Alright? Khalisatan. Kha. Make sure it's a heavy sound. Khalisatan. But Tanween plus Mim. Huh?
Idgham.
Oh, merge the sounds. Okay? Tan. Merge Tan to Mim. It will be changed to Mim. Tam. But produce a nasal sound as well. Khalisatan. Min dunin nas. Again, nun sakin plus dal. Again, like ind. We had? Yeah. What was the rule there?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Here as well, we have ikhfa. So, min dunin nasi, nun sakin. Again, dal we have. Dal, like ind. Yes?
Yeah.
Min dun, ikhfa. Min dunin nasi. Right, Hassan?
Yes.
Read it. Min dunin nasi.
Min dunin nasi. Ahsan.
Nasal sound is great. Min dunin nasi. All right. Fatamanna wul mauta. Ink. Inkun nun sakin plus the rest of the letters ikhfa. Inkuntum sadiqin.
I have a question.
Yep.
Min dunin nas.
All right.
So here it is idgham mislain.
Where is idgham mislain?
Min dunin nas.
No, it's idgham. Plus nun we have, okay? Nun sakin we have plus nun. Idgham with gunna. Idgham with gunna because the, yeah, of course you can call it idgham mislain because two same letters are there. We apply idgham. So, walan yatamannawhu. Walan nun sakin plus ya. What was the rule?
Idgham.
With Yarmalun letters? Idgham, merge them. Merge the sound of Nun to Ya, it will be changed to double Ya.
ولن يتمنوه will be changed to ولي ولي with غنة نسأل صلى ولن يتمنوه أبدا أبدا تنوين plus با do you see that baby meme on the top أبدا
yes.
baby meme yes
yeah
yes. small meme that meme means
إقلاب
إقلاب is applied here it means you changed the أبدا this noon sound to half meme sound half meme. Because of that با
Yeah.
Yes.
Nun tanween or nun sakin plus ba will have iqlab, but mim sakin plus ba will have ikhfa.
Yes.
So here we do iqlab.
Abadan,
abadan. Nun will be changed to mim. Abadan, not a complete mim, half mim. Abadan bima qaddamat aydihim. Right? Wallahu. Again, the word Allah, we said, the rule is this. I will repeat it till you get, inshallah, familiar and you remember it forever. Fawad say, if we have a fatha before the word Allah will be pronounced Allah, wallah, this way.
Heavy.
But if we have a kasra,
lightly,
illa, la, right? Bismillah. If we have a dhamma, like fatha,
heavy,
okay? So, that's great. Wallahu alimun. Aha, nun sakin. Do we have nun sakin?
No,
tanween we have. Tanween dhamma, sorry. Tanween dhamma plus ba. You see that baby meme, yes?
Yes.
Again, you gotta pronounce it with iqlab sound. We change it to kind of meme sound.
Half.
Alimun bil zalimin. Zalimin. All right. That's all. Very simple and easy. So make sure you practice, inshallah. Do you have any questions?
No.
That was all from us for today. Inshallah, stay with us with the rest of Quranic sessions. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa til farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya Mawlaya, fa kayfa yabqa fi al-'adhab wa huwa yarju ma salafa min hilmin
فضلك ورحمتك أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفا.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of the Kumail supplication in which the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, أَمْ كَيْفَ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَيْهِ زَفِيرُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ ضَعْفَهُ. How should its groaning encompass him while you know his weakness? أَمْ كَيْفَ يَتَقَلْقَلُ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ صِدْقَهُ. How should its keepers torture him while he calls out to you, O my Lord, أَمْ كَيْفَ تَزْجُرُهُ زَبَانِيَتُهَا وَهُوَ يُنَادِيكَ يَا رَبَّهُ. أَمْ كَيْفَ يَرْجُو فَضْلَكَ فِي عِتْقِهِ مِنْهَا فَتَتْرُكُهُ فِيهَا. Or how should he have hope of your bounty in freeing him from it while you abandon him within it? Regarding this part, dear listeners, we have mentioned Almighty Allah's bounty and mercy, and we tried to define it and try to understand how vast this ocean of mercy is and has been from the very beginning. And the fact that we are in absolute need and total faqr toward Almighty Allah, that is what makes our supplication closer to Almighty Allah's mercy. That is what making the true supplicant sincere in his supplication and dua. And in the previous episode specifically, we concluded that our coming into existence, as well as our continuity in existence, they are all dependent on Almighty Allah. We are in need of Him moment after moment, constantly and continuously. That is why the Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, O mankind, you are the ones who stand in need of Allah. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And Allah, He is the all-sufficient, the all-laudable. So this need and indigence, whether the man is aware of it or not, attracts Allah's mercy. Whether mankind raises them toward Allah and presents them before Him or not, but poverty and neediness, which is perceived by man, and which is raised toward Allah and presented before Him, is much stronger in attracting Allah's mercy. This is what we are trying to establish here. And accordingly, we will talk about the need and faqr and its relation toward the mercy of Allah, as we have seen in this in different parts of this Kumail supplication, and of course before and after its perception and presentation before the Lord of the worlds. We'll be back after a short break.
My Lord, then how could he remain in torment when he hopefully relies upon your past forbearance, compassion and mercy? And how can the fire cause him suffering when he hopes for your grace and mercy? And how can its roaring flames char him when you hear his voice and see his plight?
Thank you, Allah, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Now, dear listeners, as you may remember, we said that the reality of prayer and dua can be summarized in three parts. The first is the ontological need towards Allah. The second is the perception of that need. And the third is that presentation of that need toward the Lord. Now, we will try to discuss the need before its perception, before its presentation before Allah now. That ontological need toward Allah, as we said, inherently attracts the mercy of Allah even before one's become aware of it and raises it toward Allah. The example of that need is that of a low and soft land which naturally, inherently attracts water, absorbs water, whether the land wants or not, whether it is aware of it or not. And on the contrary, the parable of haughtiness and disdain for worshipping Allah is that of high and solid land, which does not accept water. Water, even if it is destined to go there, it will not go. Such are the people who are disdainful of Allah's worship and of calling upon Him in repelling the mercy of Allah. Accordingly, He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He the Exalted, deprives them of it, even though His mercy embraces the heavens and the earth. This is something that needs to be made clear for everyone. The vast ocean of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily embrace everyone. The one who is having disdain for worshipping Allah is such. If you see the supplicant in the Kumail supplication and in this part is completely hopeful of Almighty Allah's mercy, and as we can see, Allah's mercy will encircle him, will envelop him, is because that he has understood that need and he has brought that need toward Allah. He has presented the need before Allah, and that is the secret why he can be hopeful of Almighty Allah's mercy, even though he has had sins. So sins necessarily does not mean that the man is going to end up in the fire of hell perpetually. If he understands the need, if he presents the need, and if he is truly sincere, we will see the result. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Hayhat, ma dhalika dhannu bik? Far be it from you. That is not what is expected of you." And this is one important aspect of supplication Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us. Thank you for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the main difference between Islamic hikmah, roughly translated into, we can say, philosophy, and also Western philosophy. We know that in the Western world and in the whole world, we have a field of study called philosophy, but in the Islamic land, we have hikmah. We can call it the wisdom or the studies on the wisdom. Shaykh, let's start with you. Do you see any difference between Islamic hikmah and Western philosophy?
Yes, of course. When we go back to the origination of or the establishment of Western philosophy in the ancient Greece, at the time of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, we see that Socrates were fighting against skepticism, against Sufists in the ancient Greece.
Very good.
There was no certainty in when it comes to the epistemology. Epistemologically talking, there was no certainty according to those Sufists, great Sufists. So Socrates' mission was this, to convince those Sufists and the people of the ancient Greece that there is certainty.
Yes.
So later, Plato and Aristotle established mantiq and logic to tell the people that there is a kind of cornerstone or a kind of certainty based on which we can establish the belief system,
yes,
or our ideas or our school of thought.
Yes.
So in the West, actually, philosophy came out of skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
This is the background of the philosophy in the West.
Yes.
But when it comes to the Islamic world, in Islamic world, we had certainty. The teachings of Islam, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, the teachings of the Holy Quran, Muslim people were 100% certain and sure.
Mutlaqat, I mean
the absolute teachings, yes, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, uh-huh, and the teachings of the Holy Quran comes from the divine source.
Oh.
It is from wahy, it is from revelation.
So it is